Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Thank you for joining us this morning. We are so glad to have you. I am back. I can't tell you. Lizzie, good morning. It's so nice to see your smiling face.
Good morning. It's good to see you, too. I was so happy when I pulled in the parking lot. I was like, hey, Teresa's here, and you're better.
Yes, I am. I will tell you, that just hit me out of the blue. And it could have been, you know, I really do too much. I just really am a workaholic. Mm-hmm. And we had a wonderful garden tour. And I was only supposed to be gone one weekend. But then we got back and I went out to dinner with my family. And this is like 3 or 4 days later. And that was Thursday night. Friday morning, I could not lift my head. And I was really, really, really ill. Not food poisoning or anything like that. Because we went to my son's restaurant. But it was because...
Sinuses. Yes.
Yeah, weepy eyes. And I just couldn't even lift my head. So thank you for putting together that best stuff real quick. Tom came back from the Caladium Festival. So I can't wait to hear about the Caladium Festival from Tom.
Yes, definitely.
But I'm just glad to be back and talking to everyone. We had a great time. But Lizzie, it was so hot up north. Mm-hmm. I could not believe that it was 95, 98, 100 degrees up there.
Yes.
And I said, we got to get back to Florida.
Yeah, even up in Maine, when we were in Maine. And it was whenever it was like hitting like 91, 95, I'm like, are you kidding me? But they don't have the humidity, but they do have humidity for them. So for them, it was extremely hot.
It was very uncomfortable. Yes. They were all complaining. I'm going, this is nothing.
Like they do us whenever it snows.
Hold my beer. This is wonderful, you know. So, but I will tell you. So, Lizzie, okay, I got to ask you this question. This was amazing to me. If you were to guess how many days of 100-degree weather Florida's had since 1895, okay, 1895, how many days would you guess Florida's 100-degree temperatures?
So, like, straight in a row or just all
together?
Just
how many? All together. How many days of over 100 degrees do you think Florida experienced since 1895?
I can't even throw a number out there, to be honest with you. I don't even know.
I will tell you, Tampa 1 and Orlando 1. Now, it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, if you go back and look, since 1895, despite our reputation, we're so hot. How can you live in Florida? It's so hot down there. Well, we're a peninsula, and we get wrapped around with the Gulf Stream, and we get breezes, and we get the rainfall. New York City has had 59 days of temperatures of over 100 degrees. Chicago has had 64 days of over 100 degrees. Seattle, Washington, on the West Coast, has had 6 days.
There's not a possible way, because it rains too much there.
I know, but they've had 6 days of over 100 degrees since 1895. And I'm sorry, I said Orlando has one. Orlando hasn't had any. Miami, Tampa and Miami have had 1 day each. And then the winner is Phoenix, Arizona, 12,347 days of over 100 degree temperatures.
Holy cheese and crackers. Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is crazy.
So if you want to beat the heat, come to Florida. We're cooler here.
No, don't. The border's closed.
And so it has been extremely hot. We're going to talk about that today. We have got a lot of information, but it's just extremely hot out there. So hot that when we tried to do an install that we had to do this week, we could not get the plants. They just look so bad. And this was in a wholesale nursery, and it's just really tough right now to be planting plants. So I've got some information on that. This week with the weather, North Florida is going to be in the high 80s, 70 to 80% chance of rain every day. Yay. Central Florida is going to be low 90s, 70% chance of rain every day. South Florida is going to be in the high 80s, 50% chance of rain every day. It's not going to be as hot as last week, but you still want to be careful, okay? You still want to take precautions. Drink water. Every 15 minutes, be drinking some kind of water, because that's how fast your body's going to lose it. I led that garden tour for Garden Walk Buffalo, which was amazing. We had so much fun. The gardens were spectacular. We went to two Frank Lloyd Wright homes that were just amazing. we took a Florida contingent of Florida gardeners, longtime listeners of Better Lawns and Gardens, Tina and Mike and Lori, Kathy and Robert, Kathy and Jeff, and Shirley. We loved Shirley. And so it was an incredible tour. We visited over 20 incredible private gardens, including the most famous garden shed in the world, and then Jim and Leslie Charlier's magical garden. They were wonderful. We went to the Royal Botanical Gardens, Niagara Falls on the Canadian side, Niagara Botanical Gardens, and which had beautiful fantasy, huge fantasy-sized topiaries. So if I can tell you anything right now, the Garden Walk Buffalo, which will be held next year again, it's going on its 32nd year next year, should be on everybody's gardener's bouquet list. Okay. That's
bouquet list. Teresa's list. Yes, you should have that.
So you can check out artandbloomgardentours.com for more information. I'll be posting some videos on it today. And you can go to Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page to check out those stats. We want to thank South Florida Matt Devine, for Weatherman, for giving us those stats. So we just had a wonderful time. Great job. And Lizzie, thank you for covering for me. I do appreciate it. I just got to get more busier and just stay busy. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Better Lawns and Gardens. One of my favorite, most knowledgeable garden persons, experts that I go to and get information from is Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialists. They're sponsors of Better Lawns and Gardens. We're so proud to have them. And he is just so knowledgeable. But I'm just wondering how, if he's ever seen it this hot. So good morning, Dana. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am fine. I'm a little cooler than I was this week. It was really hot out there. So how are you handling the extreme heat at your nursery?
Well, my clothes are staying wet every day from the sweat, to be very honest, because we are watering. But we also still allow plants to dry out a little bit. We don't want to overwater either, but we water a little bit more than normal. Otherwise, you know, it's like, in a drought like this with heat and not enough rain, everything dries out faster.
Right.
Well, it takes longer to get it thoroughly wet.
Well, especially at your nursery, because everything is in pots and above ground. So ready to go right out the door.
Easy for weeding, but it's hotter on this asphalt.
It really is. And so have you ever seen it this hot in Florida before?
Yeah, but a long time ago when I was little, it was 100-degree weather, but it's been a long time.
Yeah. So how should landscapes be handled so that they are, how can we help our plants, handle the temperatures?
Well, for one thing, water early in the morning, water thoroughly, run your irrigation system a little longer than normal, and then also be checking. There's going to be a few weak spots or dry spots because there's no perfect irrigation system. Everything is not going to be completely uniform. The only thing perfect is your spouse.
I love that. That is so true.
Dry spots. And hand water those.
And just make sure that you you get those areas. And so they may turn a little brown. And that's a good indication that it needs more water, right?
Exactly. And when you step on the grass, that footprint stays. It doesn't bounce back.
Right. And then the St. Augustine leaf blades, they'll fold. So it's really easy to see if your leaf blades are wide open and you can't see footprints, that's a good indication that your soil's pretty well hydrated.
Yes. You just have to scout and look at your grass every day, because if you water every day and water too much, you go the other way. It sets it up with a lack of oxygen, being too wet with this pathogenic fungus attack, believe me, it'll happen.
And it happens quick, too. So now
it does. Yeah, it's just overnight.
And so is it different for new plants versus established plants?
Yes, on new plants, you have to be really extra careful. Here again, you know, in the heat, the first 2 weeks are the most critical time. You know, I've always had good success with the 2-2-2 idea.
Okay. What is that?
Mud it in, water it in, make sure that you thoroughly soak the root ball by making a basin around and filling it up so the water has to soak that root ball. That's one of the main things. Make sure you don't plant it too deeply. You should see the topmost root or the root flare. That's a common mistake to get it too deep, and especially with this heat and humidity, you can get rot there at the crown or the root flare in no time if you don't be careful. And then I water every 2 days for 2 weeks, water thoroughly. Then two times a week through the summer, then you can cut back to once a week or less.
In the fall, yes.
Well established, maybe you won't need to water it very much at all.
That's really great advice. So now, how does mulching help?
Mulching helps a lot if it's not too heavy. If you keep it too heavy, then it's going to stay too wet and hot underneath, and the fungus will get you then. You have to be really careful not to put it too heavy, not too thick.
Okay, so what are some symptoms if people walked out into their yard that they could say, oh, I'm watering too much or I'm not watering enough? What are symptoms of heat stress?
Well, they're going to lose that bright color. They'll look sort of like a wilted look, you know, softer, more of a dull look. It won't be the bright green, and you will see maybe tips curling over. The tips will look like they're drooping. And there's all kind of indications, and you'll see little dead tips a lot of times before you realize, wow, how'd that happen so quickly? Because, you know, with great stress, you will see little dead tips on your plants in no time if you're not careful.
Okay, and so is it different for fruit trees? What should we be doing for our fruit trees?
Well, fruit trees really is very important, you know, to be extra careful because you've got that extra load of fruit, extra stress of fruit. And so if you don't keep the water properly, you're going to have a lot of fruit drop. If you don't take a few off, for example, maybe that'll help a little, take a few off the tree. Mother Nature will drop them for you. If you get too stressed, it's going to sacrifice those fruit. And so you may not have many fruit this year.
Yeah.
If you're not careful with the watering. So extra careful, little extra water, and keep watch every day. Go out and look at it every day. Do they need water today?
Right. So now, Dana, so when you're planting, if you're planting a lot of fruit trees in Central Florida, do you recommend that you really need an irrigation system? Can you hand water it over the years and get enough production?
Well, if you're homebound, you know, if you can hand water you and don't have too many trees, but I think irrigation is pretty much essential. I know that makes a big difference, for example, with olive trees. Like, I've experimented with olives now since about 2005. Yesterday morning, I went out and picked 4 pounds from an olive tree I've been experimenting with for years, for seven years old. For the last 4 years, I've gotten a lot of fruit from the tree. So I'm looking at them right now in a big dish, 4 pounds I picked just from which...
Just this
from
week.
I could reach, and there's a lot more up in the tree. It's about 20 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness. And so
20
these,
feet wide.
So that's even with the heat stress that we're going through. This olive tree is doing just fine.
It is. Well, olives love the heat, that's for sure. But they also like a little cool weather, and they like low nitrogen. All I do is fertilize that tree once a year, like the first of February, mm-hmm. with our 8011 fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, what I watch for in the leaf tissue test is keep the nitrogen between 1.5% and 2%. And that is a key, you know, to producing olives. You get 2% or higher than 2%. The tree will grow to beat the band, but it'll never have olives.
Right. It's just going to keep producing leaves.
Yes.
So that's right. That's interesting. And so one quick question, because I want to get to your fabulous announcement about your workshops, but what about natives? I just saw a beauty berry. Craig in Plaque has sent me a picture of a beauty berry that was out in the wild, and it was so wilted. How do natives handle this heat?
Well, it depends on the native. Like, we have beauty berries and firbush here, and they will show wilt. They will come back, but you will see wilted, and they would appreciate a little bit of water when they get severely wilted, because, you, for example, the beauty berry, all those beautiful little fruit or berries in, that you have, like beads on the stem,
sure,
they're so beautiful. But if you lose, you know, water, turgor pressure in the soil, then they will be lost. So it really would be good to, if they get a lot of wilt, go ahead and water your beauty berry. Now, Simpson Stopper is another story. That is a native that would go for 2 to 3 months and never have to water. It'd still be beautiful and bright and looks like it's fresh as a daisy.
I love Simpson Stopper. I love Simpson Stopper as a hedge. It's wonderful, and the birds love it. It is a Florida native, and it gets nice and tall, and, and it has little pretty white flowers on it. Okay, so you have made a great announcement on your Facebook page about your seminars. Tell us about these workshops.
Absolutely. Every Saturday at 10:30 during the month of August, we're having a seminar on what to do in August to have great results for the fall. I'm titling it Taking Small Gardening Steps in August for Big Results in the Fall.
That's great.
So I'll talk about what you can plant, like to get the seeds started now, like beans, corn, cucumbers, watermelons, cantaloupes, eggplant, tomatoes, pepper, squash, okra, even still. And then I'm going to talk about what we're doing with olives right now. Now is the time to pick olives in Florida. They are getting ripe. You want to pick them like the first week of August, in August for sure, because otherwise most of them will be on the ground if you wait any longer. And how to do it, easy. It's an easy tree to grow. As long as you don't over-fertilize, do a little pruning. So we will be talking about those things, what to do in August, how to make it easy. Like,
okay, so what day of the week?
In the shade in the morning on the east side, in the shade in the evening on the west side.
There you go. See, Tony's learned that. Tony's been working at the house, pulling weeds, God bless him. And he works in the early morning hours. So Dana, what day are these seminars? Do they have to register? And are they free?
Absolutely not. You know, this is a no-cost seminar. Come one, come all. You know, all gardeners are welcome. It's at 10:30 to 11:30. We're going to have ice-cold watermelon slices to keep you refreshed, as well as cold water. And it's going to be in the shade of the orchid trail with some beautiful orchids. You're going to really see a beautiful native setting in the shade. And it's been so dry, and I pre-treated, you know, like with mosquito dunk, so that there's no mosquitoes.
Yeah, that'll
if it were raining heavily, it might be a problem, but we don't have any rain lately, so there shouldn't even be mosquitoes.
That'll be wonderful. So tell us where you're located in DeLand and your phone number so people can call about these seminars.
Okay, 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand, three and a half blocks west of Stetson Campus. Call 386-734-8000, and if that's busy, call my cell, 386-837-3878.
That's wonderful. And that's qualitygreenspecialistnursery.com. Thank you so much, Dana. I'm so glad you're giving these seminars. It's a great way to learn about Florida growing. Take care. That's Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand. Check out his seminars. The plants, the trees are amazing. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, this is the time to call. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. It was a little lighter driving in today, so you can tell the change of seasons that's coming, right?
Let me explain to you what August 1st does to me, all right?
Okay.
So not only do I try to hold off till August 1st to start playing Christmas music because my family will just like turn into serial killers from having to listen to it, but I don't care how hot it is. It was 107. I took a picture of it. It's 107. So then the humidity, what? I don't know. Was that 14 more degrees?
120%.
Exactly. So I'm just like, you know what? It's fall. Football's fixing to start. I'm excited. I'm fixing to pull out all my fall decorations.
And your pumpkin lattes and all your
do that.
You don't do pumpkin eggnog?
Oh, my God. Yes, eggnog. And that will be out in about another 5 weeks. Publix will start busting out their eggnog ice cream in the first or second week of September. And then by the third week, they should have eggnog in the store. But don't quote me on it, but that's just my fat personal experience.
That is wonderful. Well, it is August 2nd, and it is time to talk about what you can plant. And we're talking about the extreme heat, but I will tell you this week, we planted a raised bed. We planted seeds, and they're going to do just fine. And so what can you be planting for vegetables right now? Well, you could be planting transplants, cantaloupe, collard, corn, cucumbers, eggplants, lima beans and okra, pepper and pumpkin, snap beans, southern peas, squash, tomato, and watermelon. And you could be starting your fall transplant seeds. This is the time to do it. This is the time to get seeds from your catalog, because if you wait another couple of weeks, even into September, you're not going to be able to find the varieties you like. And herbs right now, go ahead and be planting these: anise and basil, and bay laurel and chives, dill and ginger, lemon balm and Mexican tarragon, mint in containers, don't let them wild, oregano and rosemary, sage, sweet marjoram, and thyme. And so you can also be planting bulbs, even with the heat. It's going to get better. We at least get the rainfall, all right, and that the rain will allow the plants to survive. But watering more often is not necessary. Water the same 2 days, but let it go a little bit longer. So if your timer's set at 25 or 30 minutes, you can let it go 40 minutes, and that's going to be better for it. Watering more often, like every day, is not good for your plants, your turf. You do not want to do that. But if you have containers, you may have to water those every day, because the soil is just going to evaporate. The water out of the soil is just going to evaporate.
Now, what if we put a mulch or something on top of that? Will that help slow down that?
That's definitely going to help. You want to mulch your containers.
Okay.
Okay, and that will definitely help. So your lawn, with the extreme rain we've had over the last 2 months, okay, your lawns may be green and we can't fertilize yet. So your lawns will get fertilized the end of September, first part of October. But right now, they can't be fertilized. So what do you do to green them up? You can apply an iron-only product. Okay, iron-only. Iron will tell it to green up without telling it to grow, and it won't cause algae issues, okay, stormwater runoff issues. What pests am I seeing right now? I will tell you, so many. Sod webworms, tropical sod webworms, the moths are everywhere. So if you're walking through your yard and your yard's getting a little sparse, or it's not looking as good, not looking as thick as what it should be, if you walk through and you see moths flying up around your ankles, then you're going to get the tropical sod webworm that's going to eat your roots, okay? So those are what the moths are doing now, are laying eggs. And in 5 to 10 days, they're going to hatch, and you're going to start seeing your lawn decline. So get to the nursery. Let me tell you what some of the products are that you can use for tropical sod webworm. Okay, so you can use Bio Advanced Complete Insect Killer. You can use Monterey BT Insecticide. You can also use Bio Advanced Complete Insect. Did I say that twice? I did. Spectracide, triazicide, insect killer. You can use Scott's Grub X, and then Syngenta Acylprim, and then 7 insect killer on your lawn. Okay, those will help you get rid of the tropical sod webworms. You're not trying to kill the moth. You want to kill the larva. Also, chinch bugs. One of the downsides of using fertilizer often, if you're fertilizing your lawn during the summer when you're not supposed to be, or if you use nitrogen a lot in your yard, then you're going to be more susceptible to chinch bugs. And chinch bugs will start to destroy your turf. Now, how do you know if you have chinch bugs? Well, you take that dead area in your yard, and it could be a 12-inch diameter. It could be 2 feet diameter. There's a dead spot, circular, usually circular, in your area that is dead. You go to the outside area, okay? The insects are no longer in your dead area. That's what they did to it. They're in your still green grassy area. You come outside that area, then you use a coffee can, cut out both ends, use it up first. Okay, cut out both ends, push it down into the soil about 3 to 4 inches, and then fill it up with water. You're going to see it bubbling, 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 and you're going to see any bugs that are in that soil float to the surface. You want to count how many bugs you see, chinch bugs, okay? They're little black and red insects, very tiny, but you will see them bubbling up if you have them. And then you want to count them. So you keep moving that coffee can all the way around that circular area, and you can then count. If you've got more than 5 to 10, then you need to go ahead and put down chinch bug pesticide.
Oh, that just drives me insane. Bugs. I mean, I know we're in Florida, but I'm very still sad about having to just rip out my cucumbers and give up on them this year.
I know. It's really sad. But you can grow them again next year. That's what you want to do. And so we're going to be back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. 1-888-455-2967. You can give me a call. I've missed you guys. 23680 if you want to text me and let me know you're out there. We're going to be back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five today are 5 ways to help your landscape beat the heat. 1, water deeply but infrequently. Lawns only need watered once a week or twice a week, you're allowed to, but make it deeply soaking so that it's much better. Don't allow it to become soggy or muddy. Allow it to drain out. 2, be aware there's a difference in watering needs between young and old plants. Newly transplanted or younger trees require more water to become established, approximately 5 to 15 gallons of water each week. 3, don't prune hedges or trees right now. Wait until the end of September. When you prune the hedges and prune the trees, they're going to start to grow more, and that's going to take a little bit more water. Refresh the 3 to 4 inches of mulch you have over your tree's root zone. Mulching is your best friend for keeping plants hydrated. 5, no need to fertilize right now. Wait until the end of September. Those are my top 5 ways to beat the heat.
Well, you didn't actually help me physically.
No.
You know what I mean? You're
no.
Just offering landscape stuff?
Great. Yes. sweating, no sweating. Drink lots
hydrating,
of water.
Hydrating.
So 1-888-455-2967. If you have a gardening question, we would love to hear from you. Gardening thought, how are you beating the heat? Are you working out in your yard? What are you planting right now? And we'd love to hear that. Or you can text 23680. 800-480.
I'm going to be honest with you. My husband Shrek, he actually loves this time of year because I have no problem walking past every garden center right now because I'm like, it is way too hot. I have to be outside to work with the turkeys, so I don't want to add that to it.
No, I understand. Shrek saves money.
Oh, yeah. He's so happy. He's so giddy. But he don't understand because here in less than, maybe a month and a half,
it's going to be nice.
Poinsettias will be out, and then all my Christmas stuff will be out. So I'll be spending money on that.
We have someone in Orlando with St. Augustine grass. There's a patch of the yard with lots of weeds. Can I spray for weeds this time of the year? Well, I don't want you to spray your entire lawn. Herbicides right now, you shouldn't use them when temperatures are over 85 degrees. Why? One, because the weeds are stronger than the grass, and the herbicide may not be effective at getting rid of the weeds. But also, two, anything that you spray on the St. Augustine is going to cause decline in the St. Augustine. The grass cannot handle herbicides right now. So you can put an herbicide on it in the fall. Now, if you want to, take a little square or a little circle and kill that area of the weeds and then resod with St. Augustine. You can do that. But make sure your grass around the outside is hydrated and that you don't get any herbicide on weed killer on your St. Augustine. It won't survive. Great question. I love that. Thank you so much. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 236-80. And you can also, if you missed any of today's shows, you can go back and listen to Better Lawns and Gardens, betterlawns.com, and the show gets uploaded every week. I do want to thank Lizzie for taking care of the show while I was gone. That was wonderful.
You're welcome.
So what can you be doing right now in your yard? Well, you can also, transplants that you started in July, you can go ahead and you can plant in your garden during mid to late August. So you can do it right now. Not a big problem. You can start growing your tomatoes. Use an extra large container, especially if they're indeterminate, and help keep it moist to prevent blossom end rot. So if you get blossom end rot, a lot of old wives' tale that it's caused by calcium deficiency. That's not true. It's caused by drying out the plant. So you want to keep your tomatoes evenly moist, which means you don't want to get it too soggy and then go dry for a couple of days, or keeping it dry and then just watering it infrequently. You want to keep that water, you want to keep that soil evenly moist so that you don't get blossom end rot. You do not want to count on summer rains. This is what Dana was saying for new plantings. Most need daily hand watering. Check your new plants. Check your new trees. They are going to need 5 to 15 gallons of water a week for trees. And your 3-gallon plants, your containers, most of them are going to need to be watered daily until for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Let's get out of these dog days of August. And then also, too, your poinsettias. Lizzie brought up poinsettias are going to be coming up. This August is the month to prune back your poinsettias, your bougainvillea, and your wisteria by the end of the month. So you don't have to do it today. We're getting lots of rain next week. So by the end of the month, you can go ahead and prune it.
Okay. Now I got a question because I've tried pruning poinsettias in the past, which obviously I've done wrong. But somehow they start to grow and then they die. So do I need to add maybe some fertilizer to
it? Well, what do you mean they die?
So they're green, like when I trim them back.
Uh-huh.
You know, the stalk of it is green.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then, like, within, like, a week or two, they're just, like, brown sticks sticking up in the air.
Okay, so when you prune them back,
mm-hmm.
Do you leave any leaves on them? Or how big are they?
I may have just answered the question.
Okay.
So back.
You cut them down to sticks.
There's really no leaves left whenever I get done.
Yeah, that's the issue. You only want to cut them back by a third. You want to leave leaves on there because they've got to go through photosynthesis to create chlorophyll. If you cut them down to the sticks.
Did you thank me for doing a good job on the show? I appreciate it. I did.
And so, just step away from the pruners, okay? And just kind of take, just only, so if your plant is 6 foot tall poinsettia, you can take it down by a third.
Okay.
Okay. If it's only 3 feet tall, you don't want to cut it down to it's just sticks.
Got it. Okay.
Just cut just a little bit. Just pinch it.
It's not like roses. You don't want to just take it all the way down.
No. Okay. No. Roses have a different type of stem. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I feel better now. Okay. Now's a good time to divide your bromelias, your Shasta daisies, daylilies, and other perennials in your yard. So if you have like your blackberry lilies, your apostle's iris, your African irises, this is a good time to prune those. Share with the community. Share with your neighbors. I guarantee you, if you divide your African lilies up and your bromeliads up and put them by the side of the road, they will be gone by the end of the day. Do not, you know, just share with your neighbors. That will be a good thing. Now's a good time to be transplanting palms and sagos. Okay, you can transplant them, dig them up, move them to wherever you want. They're very easy to move. Sagos and cycads are very easy to move. Palm trees are very easy to remove. So now, Lizzie, if you take any of those poinsettias, if you trim a little bit of it off, you can go ahead and propagate cuttings from those, from your poinsettias.
Okay, that's really good to know.
Okay, like so that. You don't have to throw it away. So just strip. So if it's 6 to 8 inches long, let's say you cut 6 to 8 inches off, just trim the last two leaves on it with the portion that's going to be under the ground, put it in a pot, put it underneath the shade tree. You can cover it with plastic if you want, water it really well.
Okay.
Leave it in the shade. In about 6 to 8 weeks, you'll be able to root them and then have new poinsettias.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And so you want to right now, if you've got mangoes and lychees, if you've already harvested them, you want to prune back your trees. This is the time to do it after you harvest the fruit. Check your pineapples. Pineapples right now are starting to ripen. And when they're fragrant and turning yellow to orange is when you need to take them off of the plant, bring them indoors, and you can eat them. Don't leave them too long. The raccoons and the squirrels and the birds, they will find the pineapple as soon as it turns ripe.
All right. I'll let Brooke know because Brooke's pineapple has now gotten, it's like that yellowish orange.
Yes. So tell her to go ahead and take it off. It's not going to get that much bigger. If it's a little small, go ahead and take it off anyway. And just enjoy a little small pineapple. There you go. So let's see. Got that. Caladiums are going to start to be declining now. So as you're getting through them with the heat and stuff like that in September, they're going to go ahead and start to decline. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. So we have Colette Winterhaven says, can oak trees be lightly trimmed to remove the ends of some low-hanging branches and a couple over the house? What about trimming big mulberry tree? Great question, Colette, because we're saying don't cut back your trees with the stress right now of the heat. But anything that you're taking off permanently or could be a problem during a storm, like over the house, branches over the house, you can go ahead and cut those. You're not going to hurt anything like that. Okay, so that's fine. Not a problem. I'm in Orlando. So Lizzie, what is a perfect text message?
A perfect text message is the first name, your location, which actually has to be pretty accurate, and then a synopsis of what you are wanting to ask.
There you go. Perfect text messages. We've got a lot of great text messages here. 1-888-455-2967. If you'd like to call in, I'd love to hear from you. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We're going to be back with another whole great hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. Stay tuned. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.